The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish to the Buddha, Amish to the Dharma, Amish to the Sangha. If we reflect for a moment on what happens when a being gets reborn into a particular realm of rebirth, for example, an animal into the realm of animals, a human into the realm of humans, within the general context of that realm, there are certain limits that apply. Once you're reborn into that realm, you can't do anything about those limits. We're all mortal, we're all subject to disease, old age, and death, if we even make it to old age. We all need food, we all need shelter, etc. In addition to this, humans, for example, born into particular social conditions, living under a great number of limitations, that exists simply because of those social conditions. I had the good fortune to live for maybe a week and a half with a Stone Age tribe of Indians down in Colombia. For those people, especially the younger members of that tribe, even though they lived within a day's walk of the more normal kind of Colombian society, some of them had never seen a car, much less ridden in one. Some of them knew only their own language. Many of them knew only their own language, didn't know any Spanish, and lived with the same technology that they had been living with for many, many generations. One of those people dropped right in the middle of our modern society, have a great deal of trouble surviving, and what I experienced dropped in the middle of their society and their condition, living conditions. I realized at once I didn't know as much as a 5-year-old boy did in that tribe about how to live out in the rainforest there. So we live with all these limitations. Some of them we can do something about through education, various kinds of experience and training. Some limitations we simply have to live with and do the best we can with. If we cannot accept the conditions under which we live, we're going to suffer a lot. And if we resent the other people who, like ourselves, were reborn into certain conditions, and like ourselves, are really doing the best they can in the midst of these conditions, and if we're going to blame everything that we don't like on other people, we're really going to suffer a lot. We're all in the same general soup, and we're all having to deal with the same general conditions. If we want to get out of the soup, then we have to do something with regard to the root causes of rebirth. What gets beings into this soup? Once we undertake that, if we ever undertake that, which is the contemplative religious path, we are immediately bucking, going against the general tendency to simply drift with the current, as it were. And there's a whole level of discomfort that goes with being different in this way. A contemplative can no more change the general conditions of existence than anyone else can. But if someone cleans up, converts all the karma that led to rebirth in the first place, rather than amassing more of the karma that leads to rebirth, then that person, while accepting the general conditions of existence, is going to be on a different path than everyone else. Because the great majority of people drift with the current that leads to rebirth. This can make a person feel very exposed. There is, however, a kind of shield that the contemplative has, a kind of protective envelope, as it were, which I think of as the merit of what one is doing in training oneself in this way. And in my own experience, manifests in sometimes very surprising ways, and sometimes even seems miraculous. Yet I don't think it's actually miraculous at all. I think it's just a kind of causation that follows the same general rule of all causation, but is a causation, has a cause in one's intent and the actions that come out of that intent. The actions being training in the precepts and meditating. And the consequences manifest in many forms, provide guidance and protection in many situations. It's not going to keep you from dying. It's not going to keep you from getting sick at times. Yet one can trust it. One can have faith in it. One will see over time, one does see over time, that this trust is entirely justified. That it's not just wishful thinking. One can trust in the merit of one's training to do good in the short run and in the long run for oneself and others. And that one does not have to have a certain clear understanding of how this works, or one doesn't have to have a sense of any control over it. Probably I'm doing this talk because a number of people have, in recent weeks, expressed to me their concern about the political and social conditions that are manifesting more and more in the United States and other Western countries, really worldwide, this tendency towards more and more people embracing extremist views and ideologies. The thing to do is to continue to do our training and to root ourselves in something deeper than what is transitory, to keep our eye on something that is eternal and not join in any form of emotionalism, ideological self-delusion, hatred, scorn. Just keep walking the path of the precepts. And do not be thrown off your center by external things.
Amen to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Amen to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Amen to the scripture of God.